Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we bless your name this morning and thank you for today. It's another blessing of a new day, which we do not take for granted. And we are so grateful to you that you've kept us and sustained us, and we have lived to witness and to operate in the day. And this morning I pray that as we get into your word, I pray that your spirit will help us, your spirit will guide us, your spirit will direct us. Give us a deep insight into your word. Let us have deep understanding of everything that you will be saying to us today. Bless everyone here today. Bless everyone watching online. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. 2 Kings chapter 17. Let's read from verse number 7. It says, this disaster came upon the people of Israel because they worshipped other gods. They sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them safely out of Egypt and had rescued them from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. They had followed the practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of them, as well as the practices the kings of Israel had introduced. The people of Israel had also secretly done many things that were not pleasing to the Lord their God. They built pagan shrines for themselves in all their towns, from the smallest outpost to the largest walled city. They set up sacred pillars and Asherah poles at the top of every hill and under every green tree. They offered sacrifices on all the hilltops, just like the nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of them. So the people of Israel had done many evil things, arousing the Lord's anger. Verse 12. Yes, they worshipped idols, despite the Lord's specific and repeated warnings. Again and again, the Lord had sent his prophets and seers to warn both Israel and Judah. Turn from all your evil ways. Obey my commands and decrees. The entire law that I commanded your ancestors to obey and that I gave you through my servants, the prophets. But the Israelites would not listen. They were as stubborn as their ancestors who had refused to believe in the Lord their God. They rejected the decrees and the covenant he had made with their ancestors, and they despised all his warnings. They worshipped worthless idols as they became worthless themselves. Whew. They followed the example of the nations around them, disobeying the Lord's command not to imitate them. Verse 16. They rejected all the commands of the Lord their God and made two calves from metal. They set up an Asherah pole and worshipped Baal and all the forces of heaven. And the last verse, they even sacrificed their own sons and daughters in the fire. They consulted fortune tellers and practiced sorcery and sold themselves to evil, arousing the Lord's anger. Second scripture, First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 to 12. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 to 12. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I am continuing with my series on Don't Get Used to It, Don't Accept It. And hopefully this should be the last one. You know, it is important as we run this Christian race that we learn valuable lessons from the experiences of the people and the individuals we read about in the Bible. Amen. Why is this important? So that we don't make the mistakes that they made. There is a reason why the Bible has not hidden the mistakes, the faults, and the flaws of even the greatest heroes of faith that we read about in the Bible. I know human beings because I am one. And I know that the natural tendency of all humans is to cover up their mistakes and to cover up their flaws. It is a default setting of all humans. But the fact that the faults and the mistakes of the people of God were not hidden from us, but were faithfully captured in the Word of God, should make us convinced that the Bible is actually God's Word. Hallelujah. We can realize from the accounts that we read of the people of Israel that time and again, they went through a very bad cycle. It's a cycle of rest, followed by rebellion, followed by repentance, followed by redemption. And then the cycle will begin again. Rest, rebellion, repentance, redemption. Then it will start all over again. Rest, rebellion, repentance, redemption. And it kept happening over and over and over. And the cycle just kept repeating itself. But the thing is that they had so much going for them that these things shouldn't have happened. They experienced God's power. They experienced God's presence like no other group of people on the face of the earth. And they should have done very well, but they did not. One of the main reasons why this was so is what for the past few weeks I have been explaining to you. That they got used to and they accepted things that they should have dealt emphatically with. Amen. You and I cannot afford to make the mistakes that they made. So what we are trying to do is we are taking heed unto ourselves. We are examining ourselves. And this teaching is a call to each and every one of us that we should do some soul searching, some introspection, look into our lives and ask a very pertinent question. Could it be that, like the people of Israel, there are things in our lives that we have accepted, that we've gotten used to, things that we should have dispelled, things that we should have gotten rid of, but we are still hanging on to them? We need to just ask ourselves whether there are things like that, things that can be a snare to us and cause us to fail in our Christian experience. And we've been looking at different things that we mustn't get used to and accept. The first one I talked about was what? What was the first one? Sin and evil. Check your notes, please. The second one, wickedness. What's the third one? Bondage and abuse. All right, bondage and abuse. You must not get used to. Actually, the only kind of bondage that you must accept, or slavery that you must accept, is slavery in the Lord Jesus. Because actually, when he saves us, we are supposed to become his slaves. Remember that when he said in Matthew 11:28, put it up there. Matthew 11:28. Can we read it together? Ready? Go. Next verse. Hold it right there. Do what? Take my yoke upon you. So in the first verse we read, he's saying that I'm going to take your burdens away. Now, bondage, slavery, are burdens. And he says, I'm going to take them away. But then immediately after, he says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, I'm leading you into another kind. But it's not the one that I relieved you of. He said, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's a kind of bondage and slavery, if you like, that rather brings you into rest. And that one, you can only find it in Christ Jesus. Any other kind of bondage, slavery, or abuse, and of course, the Lord doesn't abuse us, all right? But anything that has the shape or the form of slavery, bondage, abuse, we must get rid of it. We must reject it, and we must not accept it. Hallelujah. Then what's the next one? Manipulation and control. We talked about that. Number five. Worldliness and unspirituality. We spoke about that last week. Is that not so? And then number seven, that's where we got to. All right, let's pick it from there. The seventh thing that we must not accept, that we mustn't get used to, is unfruitfulness. I beg your pardon, number six. Unfruitfulness and lack of productivity. Unfruitfulness and lack of productivity. And I'm talking about, as a child of God, you must be fruitful and you must be productive spiritually, especially. Amen. What does it mean to be unfruitful? What does it mean to be unfruitful? Somebody help me here. It means you are barren, you don't have any fruits. Is that not so? So to be unfruitful or unproductive means, this is what it actually means. That when we look at your spiritual life, your character, your service to God, and your service to others, we don't see any results. We don't see any growth. We don't see any impact. That is what it means to be unfruitful. And that is what it means to be unproductive. So you've been a Christian for some time. We look at your spiritual life. We look at your Christian walk. We look at your character. We look at your love of God. We look at how you relate with others. We don't see any significant change or improvement. We don't see results. We don't see growth. We don't see any impact that you're making. If that is the situation with you as a child of God, then I suggest to you that you qualify to be described as unfruitful or unproductive. As the person sitting by you, are you fruitful? Are you productive? Tell the person, so why can't I see? Tell the person, convince me today that you are fruitful and productive. Show me your fruits. No, you see, don't just ask the questions without demanding an answer. Ask the person again, where are your fruits? Then look with expectation into the face of the person. Tell the person, American one. Yeah, tell me your fruits. Hallelujah. And you see, it's like Job, but that is the reality of many of us as Christians. There's nothing much to see, if anything at all. But if you read John 15, 16, you discover that God actually has a purpose for every child of his, that he or she must be fruitful. John 15, 16 from the New King James Version. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Hallelujah. Did you read it? Did you see it there? Right here, you can see clearly that God has a purpose and an agenda for every child of his, anybody that he saves. And his purpose is that we should bear fruits. Now, God is not, by this statement, asking us to get into fruit farming. That we should go and plant okra. Is okra a fruit? It's a vegetable, sorry. We should go and plant yam. Is yam a fruit? Okay, mention fruits, la. Watermelon. What less? Did you say tomato? It's a fruit. Then what else? Mention the fruits you know. Apples, grapes, banana, guava. Now, when God says that you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained that you should go and bear fruits, he's not asking you to go and plant banana and oranges and alasa and all these other things. That's not what he's saying. The fruits that he's talking about here are fruits of souls, and then also fruits of good works. These are the fruits that God is expecting us to produce. And he's expecting us to produce them. And I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, let us not accept that situation in our Christian walk where we are not fruitful, where we are not productive, and we feel that it is okay. So we move around comfortably without carrying out the master's wishes, and our hearts do not prick us. We don't feel disturbed about it. We don't feel worried about it. We're just moving on normally, thinking that everything is okay. Everything is not okay. In fact, if you look at the last part of the verse that I read, it may perhaps help you to understand why sometimes our prayers are not answered. You see that the last part says that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That whatever. Now, that word that is connecting the first part of the verse to this last part. So that is saying that what you read in the first part has something to do with the second part. And the second part says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Question: has God given us everything we ask for? Answer: no. Are there things that you prayed earnestly for, fasted about, cried out to God, you've bound, you've loosened, you've done all sorts of things, but you're still not seeing in your life? Are there things like that? What's the answer? Yes. So the reason why it is so may be because we are not carrying out the part A. Because his word makes it clear that if we do the part A, then the part B will occur and will take place in our lives. So why don't we test God on his word and decide that we are not going to accept unfruitfulness and unproductivity anymore? We are going to trust that the Holy Spirit will quicken us and cause us to become fruitful and productive. And as that happens, let's expect to see that our prayers will be answered and our requests will be sorted out. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. New Living Translation, please. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive, or the more fruitful and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So this is the expectation of God, that we will be productive, that will be fruitful, that will be useful in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that because we now know God, and because we are saved, God is expecting that we will be fruitful and that we will be productive. And the Bible here is showing us that there are some things that we must add in our life. They are like supplements that we must take. You know, there are things called food supplements, and you take them to boost your health and to boost your vitality. All right? And the reason why you take them is that sometimes the food we eat does not provide us with all the necessary nutrients that are needed for us to, you know, walk in good health. So a doctor may check you out and realize that the carbohydrate is too much. Do you see? And may decide that something has to change. Now, of course, the best thing is to try and have a good diet where there's a good balance of everything that you eat. So there should be a good balance of the carbohydrates. There should be enough protein. You know, unfortunately, in our part of the world, the carbo is usually more. The protein is very small. You see? But sometimes you can see somebody has a big bowl of eba. And then there is stew, and then small fish or egg. All right? There are times I've seen pictures. So somebody's coming to eat all of this. People can eat, oh. Hey! It's not easy. So it may become necessary to go on some food supplements so that you can do better and you can be more healthy. Now, the Bible is showing us things that we must supplement our faith with. It talks about moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, love. These are all things that the Bible is submitting to us, that if we develop, these are virtues, that if we develop in our lives, by the grace of God, we'll be more fruitful and productive. But whatever it is, let us not accept unfruitfulness, and let us not accept unproductivity. Hallelujah. One day we will stand before God, every single one of us. Once we die as saints, that means we don't lose our salvation. There will be no problem about heaven. What I mean is whether we should be allowed in or not. That will not be the issue at all. But the issue that is going to come up when God is judging us will be the issue of, what did you do for me? Where are your fruits? How useful were you to me? Or is it that we are going to have a situation where God will describe us as unprofitable servants? So it is something that must concern each and every one of us. And while it is called today, let's do everything that we can to be fruitful and productive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, don't accept unfruitfulness. Don't accept unproductivity. Hallelujah. Number seven, the next thing that we must not get used to, that we must not accept, is negativity and wrong thinking. Negativity and or wrong thinking. Don't accept it. Do not accept negativity and do not accept wrong thinking. Now, negativity is a kind of mindset or attitude where you are always focusing on the bad and you are always expecting the worst. That's negativity. So it's a mindset, it's an attitude where you always see negative things, where you always focus on negative things, where the only thing you see are bad things. You see bad things about yourself, you see bad things about others, you see bad things everywhere you go. That's the only thing you can see. Bad, 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 bad. That is negativity. And that thing can cripple you in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, we must not accept negativity. It shows up in different ways. If you have somebody who is constantly complaining, that's a negative person. As we saw with the people of Israel, it was complaint galore. Constantly complaining. So if you want to identify a negative person, these are the things you should be looking out for. Somebody who is constantly complaining. Somebody who is always expecting the worst to happen. So if you tell them that, oh, I want to try this business, their first response, enye yo. Enye yo. All right? It won't work. You tell them that I've met somebody that I want to marry. Say, hey! Emema. Emema. Hey, that's what they tell you. So they always see the worst and they are always expecting the worst to happen. A negative person is always seeing faults. You see faults in everyone. You see faults in everything. If you have somebody like that in your life, you should be very careful of that person. Always sees, you know, faults in everything and in everyone. A negative person is someone who is always critical, always criticizing. There's nothing constructive about their criticisms. That's a negative person. Criticize all the time. A negative person is always doubting good intentions. Always doubting good intentions. A negative person is always dismissing encouragement. You are telling the person, "Ebeye yosi debi enyeye." Enya ma besi sa mi ensi so ensi sa mi matine mu ache enya de ebesi sa ne enya de ebesi sa ochina. And such people, they are very frustrating to relate with. And they doubt good intentions. When you are rather trying to help them, they are suspicious of you. And they suspect you. One day, once upon a time, so there was a Christian brother in the Church of God. And the guy was struggling. He didn't have certain basic things. So his pastor told him that, you know, when I look at you, every time you have to eat outside and all of that, you don't have certain things. It's not good. So I'm going to buy a rice cooker. He's going to buy what for him? A rice cooker. What do we use to cook? Rice. Sometimes stew. You see, if the person... Is it true? Some people use it for palm nut soup. It is called equipment abuse. Don't you understand that the name for the equipment is what? Yes. Yeah. Supposed to cook rice. Don't turn it into other things. You are boiling yam with it. It works. When you are going to buy, did they tell you it is a yam cooker? Did they tell you it's a palm nut soup cooker? Yes, it had their multi-purpose. If it was meant to do that, they would have told you multi-purpose cooker. Munjani amochireno. A rice cooker. That's the name of the item. He told him, I'm going to buy a rice cooker for you. And I'm also going to buy some rice, some oil. Etre so where then? Angwamo. Nihiani Jenny. And Chene Kakra. Is that not so? Eh. Angwamo. Very, very nice. Any kosia. Yeah. Kosiani meko. So this pastor, he didn't have any bad intention. So he bought the items and called the brother and informed him that, are you there? I'm bringing the items to you. He said, I'm there. They said, I'm on my way. Then barely a few minutes after, the brother called the pastor and said, are you coming? He said, yes. He said, don't come. The pastor was surprised. Why? He said, oh, I don't need them. I don't want them. And the pastor couldn't believe his ears. Why don't you want them? It was later on that the pastor found out from somebody else that the guy says that the pastor wants to be sending him around. The pastor wants to make him his boy. That is why he's buying rice cooker and rice and oil for him. That he knows how these people are. So, what? I don't understand. And it's a bad spirit. When you are trying to do something for somebody and the person is suspicious of everything that you're doing, understand that sometimes because of bad experiences, people become that way. But then what is happening to you is that you are becoming used to negativity. And you must understand that there are good people, though. Not everybody is trying to take advantage of you. Not everybody is trying to do that. And they are actually the people that God sends into your life to help you and assist you. You can sack all those people because of your negativity. That's what I'm telling you today. Don't get used to it. Amen. And you have to change, you know, the way you think. The way you think. You know? Another thing about negativity is that you are always seeing the bad side of things. Okay? And negative people are always spreading fear and so on and so forth. And the way to deal with it is we must change the way we think. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Then it continues, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Read the next sentence for me. Ready, go. I can't hear you. But let God transform you into a new person. How? 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 We must change the way we think. And each one of us should assess ourselves. If you notice that I am a very negative person, you need to work on it. Don't accept it. Don't say that that's how God made me. That God didn't make you like that. Work on it. And it's something that you must consciously, deliberately, and intentionally work on. That's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. That means you must train yourself to think positively. Don't accept negativity. And don't accept it around you. If you have somebody around you who is always emitting negative energy, do something about it. Because it will put you down. And it will turn you into something else. Tell the person sitting by, I'm not accepting negativity from you again. Today is the last time. Hallelujah. Number 8. Don't accept poverty. Don't accept poverty. Don't accept lack. L-A-C-K. Lock. Lack. Don't accept poverty. Don't accept lack. Don't accept bad circumstances. Amen. Shout and say, I won't accept it. Say the guy, I won't accept it. Yeah. Don't accept poverty. Don't accept ahuchere. Don't accept lack and all of that. Don't accept it. Look, the truth is that all of us, or many of us, let me not say all of us, because it may be different for you, but many of us, or some of us, there are times when we don't have. Is there anybody who has been there before? There are times when you don't have enough money, you don't have enough. Oh, let me see some honest people in the Church of God. And I, your pastor, I'm also there. It happens though. There are times when you've spent everything and you don't have anything. I remember when somebody sent a message to me that he wanted, 300 or something. I told him, me balance here 50 cedis, 67 pesos on my Momo. I told him the exact balance, 50.67. That's what's in my wallet. So there are times when you go through periods like that. But it becomes a problem when it becomes a feature every time you are poor, every time you don't have food, every time you don't have money, every time nothing, and all you do is to go borrow. You borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, and so you have lost dignity, you've lost respect. No. Don't accept it. There may be times like that in your life, but don't let it be a picture of you. Don't accept it, because that is not God's will for your life. And I'm saying to you today, you can break out of that cycle of poverty. You can't break out of it. You can't. You got to press on. You got to work hard. You got to be diligent. You got to allow the Spirit of God to guide you and direct you and open your eyes to see opportunities. In fact, that's one of the prayers that you should pray constantly. Father, open my eyes to see opportunities. Because a lot of people who make it in this life, it is because they identified opportunity and they went in for it. Amen. So don't be there and tell yourself, say, me diano no. What diano no say? No. No. I see God replacing dignity and honor back into your life. Hallelujah. Psalms 23 verse 1. What does it say? You don't have to check. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How many can say today that the Lord is your shepherd? If you don't raise your hand, I'll be very worried for you. I'm asking again, how many can say that the Lord is your shepherd? And because the Lord is your shepherd, what is the expectation? I shall not want, which means I have all that I need. May God give you all that you need. May your life become full of all that you need. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. New King James Version. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. I pray that you may do what? Prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, this verse echoes God's will for you and I. That whatever it is that you're doing, you should prosper at it. Not all of us are going to be fantastically rich in this life. Not all of us. In fact, most people will not be. But you see, to prosper means that you're doing well and you are okay. And the truth of the matter is that, how much food can you eat? How many dresses can you wear? How much money can you spend? You see, if you begin to look at things from that perspective, you realize that, Charlie, it is good to have a certain spirit of contentment in life. And not get to a place where you are not happy because you don't have a red car, a yellow car, a green car, and a blue car. And a year then. Sometimes we build very huge houses. 17 bedrooms. It's for the family. A family hostel. Sometimes when I drive through town, I see abandoned houses. Houses which, when they were built, I mean, they were... In fact, now, if you're building, and I know that you're building, and your intention is to put up a story building, I'll tell you that make sure that one of the rooms downstairs is very good. Because the natural tendency is to put the master bedroom where? Up. So all the nice things are upstairs. The hour cometh. And now it's, we're climbing up. And as I'm saying this, somebody is saying, I'll fix a lift. Yeah. He said, I'll fix a lift. When you tell the person, doom so, you'll be stuck in the lift. He said, no, I'll fix solar. You see, don't preach against my preaching. Just listen to the advice that I'm giving you. It's not easy like that. This thing that I'm telling you, keep it all. Because the trend is to put up story building. Because eja plot now nyai and a 1/8 plot. And your quarter plot. So when Siama now Kosra, you won't have space. So I can understand. But my advice is that you see that room that you put downstairs and you said is guest room. Make it very nice. Don't tell yourself that, oh, and then the papa be an auntie. Why in any way, anyhow? You may never know. One day it will become your room. Because you can't go up any longer. Am I advising somebody today? Yo, men kasa man can't rewo. Amen. But by the grace of God, I see God lifting us out of a certain perpetual poverty and lack and bad circumstances. Hallelujah. Number 9, don't get used to sickness and bad health. Don't get used to sickness and bad health. Amen. Do you know that you can get used to sickness? Yeah. How do I know? You can get to a place where now you begin to personalize sickness. So you say, my asthma has come. My ulcer has come. My hypertension has come. Now, once you lay claim to it, it becomes yours. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you?
Yeah.
Don't get used to it. There are things that can be done, either by medical intervention or supernatural intervention, whatever it is. But I'm saying to you that don't get to a place where you just accept that I'm always not well. I'm always sick. I always have this. Don't accept it. Fight it fiercely, because it can cripple you and prevent you from going places in this life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So be careful how you describe certain things. My this, my that, my this. No. It's a wrong way to think. So don't get used to that. Amen. And remember that the Lord you serve is the God who heals you. Exodus 15:26, New King James Version, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. In other words, don't stop believing that God will heal you by whatever means. Believe that God will heal you. And even if he doesn't heal you and you are dying on your deathbed, it should be the death of somebody who never lost hope that God is going to heal me. And God, he responds to faith like that. But what I am cautioning us against and guarding, asking that we should guard ourselves against, is that thing where you are not well all the time and you feel it is normal. Don't just accept it. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. Otherwise, it will hinder a lot of things in your life. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What it means, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ went through all that pain, all that suffering, all those beatings, all those stripes. He received them so that you and I can enjoy good health. And in the earlier scripture that I shared with you, 3 John verse 2, he says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, which is good health, even as your soul prospers. So all these scriptures point out to us that God wants us to be healed, and God wants us to enjoy good health. So don't accept it. Don't get used to sicknesses and believe God that something can be done about it. And sometimes what it calls for is lifestyle changes. Sometimes that's what it calls for. And the problem really is that we don't like to make certain changes. Do you see? Yeah. You know me and dead. So there are people who are walking about and they have tom-tom on them all the time. Do you see? Ah, why? Have I mentioned anybody's name? If you give it to us, we will eat it. We will eat it. But you must know that your mouth inside, they sweet you too much. As I'm saying what I'm saying, she's looking at me. And her eyes are saying something to me. Madam, why? Is there a problem? Oh, yes, you think that what? I'm saying the right thing. And I should say it to myself, do you see? That's all there is to it, too. Look, the fact that, why? Can't I, Pastor Elvis, can't I every once in a while ice cream kakrebia? Is there a problem with that? I don't eat ice cream every day. Once in a while. What do you think? The frequency, which one do you think is okay for me? Once in a month. I'm in jail. Pastor James, you make like you and I there on our case, pa. So Pastor James says every other day, if you eat ice cream or chocolate, his problem is chocolate. Do you see? All right. And I don't eat ice cream every day. Okay? Yeah. It's just that when she sees that I'm eating ice cream now, then I start feeling an accusation coming forth. So because of that thing, sometimes when I want to eat, I have to go and hide it. Hey. The other day, she caught me well. Because when I finished eating it, I forgot and I put it under the bed. The empty container. And then, I also don't know what she went looking for under the bed. But maybe it was my son who was sweeping the room and brought it out. Where is he? Look, don't join your mother to give me problems in this life. What you say? Once in a while. Okay? And by the way, the wise thing to do is to eat these things in moderation. Okay? I sound like I'm trying to convince myself. Okay? Memory awesome. Rise to your feet and let's close. Hey! Asem krabe nye. Makweko preaching yami asema mami wachre me. Yeah, it's okay. All right. Why don't you just begin to thank the Lord right now? Thank the Lord for His word, everything that has been revealed to us today, as things that we mustn't accept and things that we mustn't get used to. Just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to reject anything that has the potential of hurting or harming you in this life. Pray that the Holy Spirit should give you wisdom. Pray that the Holy Spirit should give you understanding, the knowledge, everything that you need to be able to deal with all such harmful things that may be prevalent in our lives. Pray that, help me, Holy Spirit, that I may not get used to sin and evil, to addiction and bad habits. Pray, Holy Spirit, help me not to get used to wickedness. Pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me not get used to bondage and abuse and all kinds of slavery. Help me not to get used to manipulation and control. Help me not to get used to worldliness and unspirituality. Help me not to get used to unfruitfulness and lack of productivity. Help me not to get used to negativity and wrong thinking. Help me not to get used to poverty, lack, and bad circumstances. Help me not to get used to sickness and bad health. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift up your voices and pray. Lift up your voices and pray and speak to the Lord right now for a minute or two. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, kasataya rabado bode. Rebe kataya rabade. Oh, abayabade abro baba semede abare bere. Rebe rababa kataya bade dede. Tiara baba semede ababare dede. Holy Spirit, help us. Help your people. Help us to break out of everything harmful, everything devastating, everything destructive in our lives. Anything and everything that will lead us to on a wrong path, that will bring trouble, that will bring pain, that will bring sorrow into our lives. Help us to get rid of these things. Help us to identify anything in our lives that is harmful, which we've accepted, but which we must reject, so that we can step into the good things that you've prepared for us. We bless you, Father, today, in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And this morning, I want to pray with you. You're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Somebody invited you to church, and you know deep inside of you that you really don't know Jesus. You're very far from Him. and your life is not the way it ought to be. I want you to understand that Jesus loves you, and for which reason he came to die for you many years ago. But he needs a response from you so that he can make your life beautiful. Perhaps you're watching me and you've never given your heart to Jesus, but today there's a certain conviction stirred up inside of you that I must receive this Jesus. That conviction is of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I see your hand. I see it. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Right there in your room, you can lift your hand up. Jesus can see you and is ready to reach out to you right where you are. God bless you. If you've lifted up your hand wherever you are, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And let everybody join in this prayer as well. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.